Welcome back, everybody, to Daf Yomi. Today we're up to Daf Mem Ches. We are going to be starting from Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the first wide line, Tanan, about six words in to that line. So let's just catch ourselves up. What are we talking about? So we have a very classic machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to whether Ma'us are Konos Midoraisa or if Meshicha is going to be Konem Midoraisa. So said the Gemara, the Rabbi Yochanan says, Dvar Torah, Ma'us are going to be konos. And the only reason we say that you need Meshicha is Gzeira Midrabanan. Why? Because we don't want that Binyamin sells me the stuff, and then there's a fire in his property, and he's not going to care to take care of my things. We need to make sure that he takes care of my things. And Reish Lakish said that Meshicha is what's konami to Oraisa, and they each brought some proofs for their shitos. So now we're going to come and discuss, we're going to bring a raya whether Meshicha is konem midoraisa or whether Ma'os are konos midoraisa. Says the Gemara Tanan, we learned today Mishnah, our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kosha Kesef Biyado Yado Al Elyon. Remember we said at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that whoever has the money has the upper hand, meaning we said that no one should renege, right? But we said as long as there was no kinin Meshicha, you are allowed to back out. Okay, there will be a Misha Parah, we said, which is the curse, but you are allowed to back out. Rabbi Shimon then ended the Mishnah by saying, whoever has the money, i.e. the seller, right, he has the Yado Al HaElyona, he's able to be the one to back out. Says Gemara, Mocher Hu Dematzi Hadarbe, so the seller is able to go and back out. Lokeach Lo Matzi Hadarbe, but the buyer is unable to back out. Says Gemara, Yamar Bishlama Ma'os Konos. So this makes sense if you're going to say that Ma'os is Konos Mishamachi Mocher Matzi Hadarbe, Lokeach Lo Matzi Hadarbe, because the reason why only one of them can back out and the other one can't is because Ma'os were Konos. And that makes sense. I paid Binyamin, so it makes sense that I'm stuck and he's not because the Ma'os were Konos. I made a kinyan by giving over the money. Eliyam aren't Ma'os in on Konos, but if we're going to say that Ma'os is not going to be Konos, that money doesn't really change anything. Lokeach nami lehadarbe. No kinyan took place here. So why can only he not back out? Well, why can only he back out but me not? I should be able to back out also. So how do we explain this last line in our Mishnah? Doesn't seem to make any sense if we're holding like Reish Lakish. So says the Gemara, Amralach Reish Lakish, Alibid Rabbi Shimon, Lo Kamina. You're right, you're asking me a question within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, at the end of our Mishnah, he is of the opinion that Ma'os are Konos, but Ki Kamina, Alibid Rabbanan. But I'm holding like the Rabbanan, who hold that Ma'os, Einon Konos, that was my Shita. And now the Gemara kind of flips this question.
Pay something without taking possession?
Correct. Then it's not going to be a kinyan, right? The question is whether money itself can affect the kinyan or not, right? That's what we're saying. Now, it ends up being that everyone agrees you need Meshicha anyway. The question is just whether that's midirabbanan or midoraisa, right? Good. Now, says the Gemara, we're going to flip this question on its head. We tried to bring this as a proof against Reish Lakish, but now we're going to bring it as a proof for Reish Lakish. So now, Bishlam Olo Reish Lakish, Hanadika Bein Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. So if we're going to say that that's the distinction, now I understand where Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan are disagreeing. Remember, the Rabbanan seem to say that both parties can't renege, and then Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah said, whoever has the money, i.e. the Mocher, has the upper hand. So now I understand the difference between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. One saying Ma'os Konos, one saying Meshicha is Kone. Ela Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ika Bein Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that everyone's holding them Ma'os are Konos, then what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan? Why would one say that neither party can renege? And why would one say that only the one who's given the money can't renege, but the one who sells it, meaning the mocher, has the upper hand? Why would that be? Says the Gemara, Ika benayu de Rav Chista. There is a difference based on that which Rav Chista says. Dam Rav Chista, kidach shetikni Meshicha b'mochrin, kach niknu Meshicha b'lekuchos. Because Rav Chista says, even if you're going to say, Ma'os are konos mida oraisa, that money affects a kinyan on a Torah level, still we know midrabanan you need Meshicha, right? So now the question is, when we made this gezerah of Meshicha, did we only do it for Binyamin, meaning that I want to make sure that Binyamin is incentivized to go and save the stuff? So Rav Chista says both parties are able to renege because we want to incentivize both parties. Because imagine if Binyamin has already made a sale to me. I already gave him $1,000 for some of his produce. And now there's a fire that's trickling closer and closer to him, right? So if he's fully kone and I'm just going to lose out, he's not going to be so incentivized to go and save it. But let's say he knows that I can renege on the sale and I know there's a fire coming nearby. So I'm going to call Binyamin up and say, hey, Binyamin, remember that sale? We're done. Let's go and nullify that sale. So then he's going to be incentivized. So that's why Rav Chista says, we say that both parties can renege, and therefore that's going to further incentivize Binyamin to go and save this stuff. So now it comes out, Rabbi Shimon less laid to Rav Chista. Rabbi Shimon says, nah, this Rav Chista thing's not real, and that's why only the mocher is able to retract. Rabbanan Islay to Rav Chista, and Rabbanan say, no, this Rav Chista idea is legitimate, and therefore even the Lokeach is able to go and renege. That was attempted proof number one. We tried to flip it back on its head, but now we're going to get proof number two, or the next proof. Tanan, we learned again in our Mishnah, we said even if you're going to say that the actual kinyan doesn't take effect until you actually do a Meshicha, and the money's not enough, there's still what's called a Misha Para, which the Gemara is going to call an Aval. Right? The Gemara is going to call this an Aval, but really it's Misha Para. So when it comes to Misha Para, we know that this is someone who doesn't hold up on their word. So this, they're going to be over and they're going to get this curse. So if we're going to say that Mos Arkonos, then it makes sense that there was a real kinyan happening here. When someone breaks their word, now it makes sense that we're going to have this curse because you now broke through this kinyan that was really taking effect. But if we're going to say that Moos is not Konos, and all we agreed on is money, and I gave Binyamin money, but nothing actually happened practically, then why am I being cursed for this? Nothing actually took effect. Nothing actually changed. Says the Gemara, Mishum Dvarim. No, you're being cursed because of the fact that you broke your word. Your words matter. But says the Gemara, Dvarim Mikai Baval. We can have a curse like this just because of words. But we have a bright switch. Says Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afal Pisha Amru Talis Konet Dinar Zahav, Vein Dinar Zahav Konet Talis. Rabbi Shimon says, even though we have this concept, remember, Hazav Kone Esa Kesef means that we have an object and cash, right? So even though we say that when it comes to a talis with a dinar Zahav, remember, Zahav in comparison to silver, we said might be an object as opposed to cash. But when you have a talis and gold, then we will say that the gold is the cash. Very good. So even though we say that a talis, you can be Kone with a Zahav type thing, meaning as the Talis as the object and the Zahav as the cash, but the other way around is not going to work. Mikol makom kach halacha. Haval amru mishapara me'achidor amabu me'achidor aflago me'achid sdom v'amora umi mitzrayim bayam hu asid lipar mimisheino omid b'diburo. So even though you can't have this kinyan where you're doing it on the cash, on the gold, but not on the talis, still, even though that's not a full kinyan, there's still a mishapara. Notice anything different about this mishapara? Right, there's a couple of added things. We first said Dora Mabul and Dora Flag, and now it adds Anshe Sedom, the Amora, and also Mitzrayim. So big discussion as to why all of those, what exactly they all have in common. It does seem to be an Amuna type thing, but we see that this Misha Para comes and exists. But V'hanose V'nosim B'dvarim Lo Kana. But if it was only about words itself, then there's no kinyan, v'achozer bo ein ruach hachamim nochei menu. And someone who does go back on their word, so there's no misha para, there's no aval, but what it is that the chachamim aren't so thrilled with you. The chachamim aren't thrilled with you. There ein ruach hachamim nochei menu, v'amarava anu ein lanu ela ein ruach hachamim nochei menu. And we see that this is all that there is. So what do we see from here? There's no misha para when it comes to Dvarim, when it comes to just words. Remember, our question was, why would we say that there's a Misha Para if Mos are not going to be Konos? Nothing happened. Why are we cursing anybody? So we said, no, it's all because you went back on your word. But we just proved that just going back on your word doesn't get you a Misha Para curse. It gets you a, you could do better, right? The Chacham aren't so thrilled with you. That's what it gets. Also not a nice thing. We like when Chachamim are thrilled with you. Look at Rashi over here. What does this mean? They're not thrilled with your actions, right? They're not so proud of you. Again, what exactly that means, how exactly we play that out. But either way, it does not seem to be a Misha Para. So says the Gemara, what's the difference? Rather, Dvarim V'ika B'hadayu Mo'uz Kai Ba'aval. What are we saying over here? No. Was when it's words that then leads to a giving over of money. So me and Binyamin are in discussions. We come to a verbal agreement. And then I give him money. So in that situation, even if you're going to say ma'us are einan konos, even if you're going to say that money does not by itself impact a kinyan, in that situation when we have words which leads to a payment, that's enough to go and qualify for this curse of aval, of misha para. Dvarim v'leka b'hadayumos, but if it's just solely a verbal agreement and that's it, lo kai ba'aval, then it's not going to be with this aval, this Misha Para is not going to exist. Fine, so this is what we said. We had this machlokes again, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as to whether money is kone on a midah oraisa level. Rabbi Yochanan, yes. Reish Lakish, no. We had two proofs either way. We came to come and reject these proofs. But now comes the Gemara and continues in this discussion. Amar Rav, a crow must nisa Messiah le Reish Lakish. So again, remember, Reish Lakish is the one who said that Mashiach is kone midah oraisa. So Rav says we have a pasuk and we have a mishnah which seemed to back up Reish Lakish. So what's the pasuk? So the pasuk is talking about ashram gzelos. It's talking about when you have to bring a certain type of karbon, when you deny that you owe a certain thing that you owe. You deny that something happened. We know some of these words, pikadon. So pikadon, we know what that is. That's when I'm guarding something for you. Sumes yad, the Gemara is going to have to describe what that is. Gazel, we can understand what stealing is. And ashak is amito, is when you're not paying your workers. So all of these things, we're going to have to understand what's talking about here. Now, something which is important to go and remember is the only time that we're going to have this karban asham, where you have to go and pay back something, is when there's a specific item that you took. So by stealing, I understand what that means. By guarding, I understand exactly what that means. By this tsumes yad, where there's some sort of loan here, and now you're denying that there was some sort of loan, so you're not expected to go and give back the same money. This is the concept of milva, lehotza, nitna, right? That money's meant to be spent. So there's not a specific item at play. When you're not paying your workers, there's not a specific item that we're talking about. So really, this should not be subject to the karban ashram gzelos that we're talking about over here. So the Gemara has to work to try to figure out what's the case of these situations of paying back a loan and paying your workers when you haven't been paying them, that it's actually a specific item, therefore it could be subject to this karban. So says the Gemara, tsumas yad, amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, what's the case? Where I went and I specified, I said, Binyamin, you owe me this money, and we made some sort of kli as a collateral, a specific kli over here in your house. So therefore it is a specific kli. Now when you deny it, now you're going to be subject to this karban. Ashak, when it says Ashak, Amar Rav Chista, Kigon Sheyichei Lo Kli Lashko, where there is a specific kli, where there's going to be the guarantee of wages on, and therefore, again, it's going to be under the category of this karban. Now, the problem is that if you look, this was Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Now, if you look at Pasuk Chaf Gimel in Vayikra Perek Hay, so then it goes through all the things that when you give these things back, what's involved in this repayment of giving it back. So now let's notice that there's something missing from this pasuk. V'chia hadre kruksiv. When we're talking about returning these things, the pasuk says, V'ayaki yechata v'asham heshev esagzela. So you went and you sinned and you brought this karban and you returned the stolen item, asher gazal, o es haoshek asher ashak, o es hapikadon asher hafkedo zo. So we have three of the four things mentioned in the first pasuk are mentioned in the second pasuk. We have pikadon, we have gazel, we have Ashak, we have the withholding the wages from the workers. What's missing?
Sumes yad.
Sumes yad is missing. Says the Gemara, "Vilu sumes yad lo ahadre." That's not in the second part of the pasuk, which talks about giving something back and the carbon and everything along those lines. My time, why is it not mentioned there? Lav mishim de mechzer mishicha. Is it not missing because there was a lack of mishicha over there and therefore it wasn't a real kinyan and that's why it's left out? Seems to be a proof for Reish Lakish. Yeah, it's a proof for it, because he says Mashiach is going to be Kone, right? He says the Mashiach is the Kinyan. So this seems to be a question, proof for Reish Lakish. There's no Mashiach when it comes to this specific item that's in Binyamin's property. I gave him a loan, and now I say, oh, that's going to be my collateral, but I didn't actually make a Kinyan on it. So that's why it's not going to be included. So it says the Gemara, I'm earlier of Papa Rava, Ema Me Osheku, Dehadar Kra, Hacha Mayaskinan, Kigon Shenaslu, Mimenu, Vechazru, Vifkidu, Etzlo. Says the Gemara, no, we could be talking about a situation where the Psumas Yad is included in the limud of Oshek, meaning where when you talk about paying back workers, it's similar enough to Tsumes Yad, and that could be what it's talking about. And what are we talking about with this case of Oshek, where we're talking about how this is actually a specific thing, and when was there a Kinyan over there? It's where you collected it, and then you went and regave it over to somebody else, but there was some sort of Kinyan there. But says Gemara, if that's the case, Hainu Pikadon, that's the exact same case of Pikadon. So no, Tre Gavne Pikadon. Then there's two different types of Pikadon. There's the conventional Pikadon, and then there's this Pikadon when you're paying back your workers. Says Gemara, Yachib, if you can create a case where there was a Kinyan by paying back your workers in this type of loan thing where you guarantee your workers are going to get paid, then we can figure out a case where there's going to be a Kinyan by Sumes Yad, where there's going to be a Kinyan by the loan. Says Gemara, Yahadre Kra lo tiyufta velo siyata. So says Gemara, fine, you know what? You're right. If we were to actually go back and repeat Sumes Yad, then we'd have no proof for our situation. The reason why it left it out is to show us that really Mashiach is how you're going to be Kone. But nowadays, now that we have this missing. Now we could say that this helps us improve, like Reish Lakish, that Mashiach is going to be Konev. It says Gemara, but is it really true? This is all assuming that Sumes Yad is not mentioned back again in the Pasuk. It's something you have to agree to. I know this is getting very detailed, but if we zoom out, we can understand what we're talking about. This is the Pasuk proof for the fact that Mashiach is going to be Koneh, and we're talking about an Ashram Gezelos returning certain objects that were taken in some capacity. Sumes Yad is missing from that idea. It sounds like it's missing because there was no Mashiach. So we're trying to figure out how exactly all that works. But says the Gemara, all of this is assuming that Sumes Yad is actually missing. But Sumes Yad, lo ahadre ka, is it really true that the Pasuk doesn't go back for Sumes Yad? Vahatanya. But we have a Brisa which says, I'm Rabbi Shimon, minayin litein es ha'amro gamal lamata. How do we know that the same things that apply in the Pesukim above apply in the Pesukim below? Meaning that whatever was in Pasuk Chaf Aleph is going to apply in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Whatever applies in the first part where we say that if you steal all these things, applies by the returning part as well. All four things are going to apply up top and below. How do we know this? Tiksiv, because the Pasuk says, there it is, the Pasuk in the next Pasuk says, O Mikol Asher Yishava Lav L'Sheker. It says a general klal, which includes all of the things that were mentioned in the initial Pasuk. V'yomer Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua Amar Rav L'Rabu Sumes Yad L'Yishavon. But we see that what? That Sumes Yad is going to be included in the second Limud, and therefore you can't learn out that Mashiach is the only way to be Kona, because Sumes Yad is now included in everything that's happening, says the Gemara. No, behed yamiya lo ahadre kra. You're right that it's included practically in terms of halacha, that you would be subject to all of the things in halacha, but it's still not mentioned explicitly, and the reason why it's not mentioned explicitly is to teach us this din that Mashiach is what is used to be Koneh. Now, I know that was very difficult. That was a very tough back and forth. But again, we are bringing our Pasuk proof for the fact that Mashiach is going to be Koneh. We learned it out from the fact that when the Pasuk goes back to teach us all of the things that you have to return, and leaves out Sumes Yad, even though the halachos would still apply to Sumes Yad because there's a general klal right after that, the Pasuk left it out explicitly to teach me that that one's going to be different because there's no Kinyan Mashiach, therefore proving like Reish Lakish. This is why it's a school for Parnassa. What'd you say? That's a proof. That's how we learned it out from the Pasuk. Right? It's a very detailed one.
Because there's one thing missing, and because that one thing...
Because it's missing, and the reason it's missing is because...
It must be because... We say it must.
Oh, right.
What's the proof? The reason it's not missing is because it's missing.
Because there's no other proof. There's no other reason we can come up with. Why else would it be missing? Right? Why else would it be missing? No other reason it would be missing. That's the only thing. Otherwise, it'd come and say. There it is. Says the Gemara. Masnisa minalan. So this is all the Pasuk proof for Reish Lakish. But remember, we can get into that. Right. So we had a Pasuk proof, and we also have a Mishnah proof. So what's the Mishnah proof? Masnisa minalan, titanya, nasno lebalan malos, ma'al. So let's say someone gives, you give something to a bathhouse worker, even before they did anything, just by giving it over, you have now violated me'ila. Meaning, let's say I have money of hektish, right? So I go and I take money from the Beis HaMikdash, and I give it to this bathhouse attendant who gets paid to go and watch the bathhouse. Right, that won't be Binyamin. Why not? That could be Binyamin. Binyamin could be anything, right? Binyamin's an ideology. Binyamin is anything we want him to be. That's right. So, let's say someone gives money. So I go and I take from Hektish and then I give the money to the bath housekeeper. Even before anyone does anything, he doesn't give me anything. There's no towel that I get. There's no hot water for me yet. Just by giving him the money, I am over on Me'ila. V'amar Rav, and Rav says, Dafka balan hu de lo mechaser Mashiach, avamidi achrisa de mechaser Mashiach lo mal ad Mashiach. And he says, that's specifically by a bathhouse attendant. Why? Because there's nothing to be Kona. There's nothing to do Mashiach with. But in a normal situation where there would be a Mashiach that's potentially available to do, you're not going to violate Me'ila until a Mashiach comes. So we learned it out also. We learned it out from something that's not a Mashiach, teaching us that Mashiach is always going to be necessary. But says the Gemara, V'hatanya, Nasna l'sapar ma'al v'sapar ha'bay l'mamshech tesporis. But if you go and pay a barber, the minute you get pay the barber with the hektish money, you're also going to be over on Me'ila. But by a barber, there is some sort of Mashiach that can be done because you can go and do Mashiach on the scissors. Saul's wondering, but that's his scissors. But still, there's some sort of kinyan that could be done. And there's something that could be done, and we see that Me'ila happens right away, even without a Mashiach. So this does not seem to be a proof. It says the Gemara, no, who are we talking about? Ma'askinan b'sapar nachri d'lav bar Mashiachu. No, we're talking about a non-Jewish barber, where there's no Mashiach. That's why you were over on the Me'ila right away. Tanina mihachi, we have a proof also to teach me that there's a distinction between a Jewish worker and a non-Jewish worker, because the Brisa says, Nasna l'sapar l'sapan o l'chol klei o l'chol balei umnos lo mala d'mashach. So if you give money to a barber or to a sailor or to any sort of clay maker, so you're not going to be ma'al, there's no me'ila until you do a meshicha. Kashana adadi, we just said the opposite when it comes to a barber. We just said the opposite. It seems to be a sira. No, elav shmamina, kam besapar nachri, kam besapar yisrael shmamina. No, there's a difference. When it comes to a Jewish person, in order to have a full-fledged kinyan, you need to have meshicha. But when it comes to a non-Jew, then you would not need to do a meshicha. Good. Now, comes the Gemara, v'cheinam Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, what, this is a strange kind of shift in the Gemara. We just proved Reish Lakish again that Mashiach is going to be Kone from a Pasuk and a Mishnah. Now we say V'cheinam Rav Nachman Dvar Torah Mo'os Konos. So we say that Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Yochanan that Mo'os are going to be Konos, that money is going to be enough. Uvodka Levi Masnisei V'Ashkach. And Levi was looking around in the Mishnayos to try to find a proof, and he found one. He found a proof. What's the proof? We say Nasna L'Siton Ma'al. So let's say you have a wholesaler of fruit and he sells mostly on credit. This person sells mostly on credit. So if you give him this money, so now you have been over on Me'ila. Says the Gemara, so if that's pretty explicit that we have this Mos are being Konos, what would Reish Lakish do with this? Right? You brought such a good proof for Rabbi Yochanan that Reish Lakish is going to have to answer this. The other proofs we weren't worried about how Rabbi Yochanan is necessarily going to answer. But here, how's Reish Lakish going to answer? Elo kasha l'Reish Lakish, omar l'ch Reish Lakish, hamani, Rabbi Shimoni. Who's that referring to? That's Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah was of the opinion that Ma'os are going to be Konos. And that's why Rabbi Shimon was the one, going back to the beginning of our daf today, Rabbi Shimon was the one who said, Yadu al Yona, whoever has that money, cash is king. Exactly. See, that's a great one. That's very good, right? Cash is king. That makes a lot of sense. It's perfect usage over here. Cash is king. Whoever has the cash is the one that has the upper hand. They're able to renege, but the other one is not able to renege. What'd you say?
It's the golden rule.
The golden rule.
He who has the gold makes the rule.
There it is. He who has the gold makes the rule. There you go. So let's go back and just review what we've done so far. So we have this machlokes again, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The reason I keep bringing that up is because we need to remember that. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Mo'os, Konos, Mida, Oraisa, or not. Mida, Rabbanan, we've already said that we all agree that you need to have Mashicha. But we're talking about Mida, Oraisa, what's going to go and impact the Kinyanim. So we had a few proofs back and forth either way. Then we spoke about this Misha Parah. Maybe that seems to be a proof. We said there's a difference between Misha Parah and when the Chacham are not thrilled with you. We said that maybe there's going to be a difference. We had proofs from a Pasuk and from Mishnayis for Reish Lakish. We had a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. But we said Rabbi Yochanan's proof is not necessarily proof because that would be Rabbi Shimon. Good, let's keep going. Then we said, Avalam Ramisha Parah Bechulu, Itmar Abaye Ome Amar Oduye Modi'in Anlay. So when we say that we give this person a curse for reneging, so what does that mean? That Chachamim actually get up and curse him? Or they get up and warn him and say, just a heads up, you should know that you're going to get cursed for doing this. So which one is it? So Abaye says they just let him know that there is a curse associated with this. Rava Amar, no, Mela Laitin Anlay, let's go give him the curse. So Abaye Amar Odim Odin Anlay. So why does he say that we just informed them Dichsev V'Nasi V'Am Chalosor? Because it says that you're not supposed to curse people. Rava Amar Mela Laitin Anlay. Rava says no, we can curse them. Why Dichsev Ba'Amcha? Because it says V'Nasi Ba'Amcha, that someone who's acting Ba'Amcha Ba'Osa Ma'isa Amcha, when you're acting within the parameters of Amcha of Klal Yisrael, then we won't curse you. But if you're outside of the parameters of Klal Yisrael, then you get cursed. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mina Amin Allah. So where does Rava get his din from that you can actually curse them? Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Yavu Le Zuzei, Amilcha, Lesof, Ayakar Milcha. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef was selling something for salt, right? He was selling his salt, and he got the money. And then, before he made any sort of kinyan, the price of salt skyrocketed. So it was all much more expensive, and he wanted to renege on this sale. He wanted to give back the money and back out, and then he wanted to resell it. So also coming to Rabbi Yochanan, went in front of Rabbi Yochanan. He should have found a different Rebbe for this because Rabbi Yochanan, we know, is Ma'os Konos. Okay, he shouldn't have found another Rebbe. That was his Rebbe. But you know what I'm saying? This makes sense. Rabbi Yochanan would say this. Also coming to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei, Zil Havlehu. So you got to go and give it. Vi lo kabi alecha mishapar. And if not, then you're going to get a mishapara. Vi amaro duye modin an lei. And if you're going to tell me that it's solely to inform the person that they're going to be subject to this curse, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef baro duye hu. What, you think Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef didn't know that this mishapara exists? Of course he knew that it exists. It can't be that he was just saying that he's informing him. Now I think maybe based on my lower level, that it's a little different. I think we all have a way of kind of, you know, justifying things in our head. So you will ask certain questions, even if we think we know of the concepts, but maybe it doesn't apply here, we'll ask the questions. So he's asking Rabbi Yochanan. All right, anyway, that's just my own two cents. But here what we're saying is, if we're talking about it's just informing, then why would Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef need to be informed? But says Gemara back, Velamai, Mela Laitinan, like what you're going to say, we're going to curse him? Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, also the Kabule Alei Latusa de Rabbanon, what the Rabbanon are going to go and curse this big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef? What are we talking about over here? Ella Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, a Ravonahu de Yavle. What's the situation? We're talking about a case where Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef put a down payment. There was a down payment situation. So it wasn't that there was a full sale. It wasn't that all of the money was paid up. There was a down payment associated over here. Husavar Kenegdo Hu Kone. He thought that maybe he's only Kone the percentage of the amount that he put down or that was put down. And therefore, okay, that little Mishapara for a quarter of the amount, a tenth of the amount, whatever it is, that's not as bad a Mishapara as if I'm backing out of an entire deal. Varmalei Rabbi Yochanan, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying back to him is, no, Keneged Kulo Hu Kone. Once you put down a down payment, you're the full owner on the thing. That's as if you gave a full cash, and therefore a Mishapara would be on the entire thing. So like now they're kind of negotiating, how bad would the curse actually be?
Mishapara based on the value of...
Oh, so that's what we're saying. Mishapara, when you're backing out...
The Mishapara, a big case, a big...
You're right. It's a very interesting thing, right? We're saying a Mishapara, when you're backing out of a, you know, a quarter of a $10 sale, a $2 Mishapara is not the same thing as a bigger dollar amount Mishapara, which is a very strange thing, right? A curse is a curse.
Right.
But if we believe that, you know, there's a big cheshbon upstairs, and that it's this and this, and that this is being presented to you, maybe this is the hishtadlus you need, but I don't know, whatever it is, so there seems to be a difference. But now let's go back into this down payment situation. Itmar, Eravon, Rav, Amar, Kenegdo, Hu, Kone. So when it comes to a down payment, so Rav says, you're Kone, Keneged, that which you put down. So if you put down 10%, then you own 10%. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Keneged, Kulo, Hu, Kone. No, you've now made a kinyan on the entire thing, right? Like houses, mortgages. So you own the house, even though... Really, I only took down a very...
You know, the bank really does.
Yes, even though the bank really does. You own, you can do whatever you want with the house. When we were moving furniture the other night, and I didn't want to scratch the floor, but when I was renting in Queens, it was like a whole to-do. We lifted everything because we didn't want this, and then we still, whatever it was. But here, okay, whatever happens, my house. But I own a very, very small percentage of my house. So says the Gemara, what's the halacha in that situation? This is Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rav says you get keneged what your value is, what you put in, or what you are now owning, whatever it is. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you get the entire thing. So meisve, let's bring the proof on. No, senior Rav and lechavero. So let's say someone brought a down payment to their friend, v'amrlo, imani choser bi ervuni macholach. So now they're each making some sort of guarantees to their friends verbally. So they say, if I go and renege on this, so now you can keep my down payment. Right? A guaranteed down payment. And the other guy says, if I go and go back and renege on my on our deal, so I'll double the down payment. Meaning, so I'll pay you back the down payment and I'll add more. So Rabbi Yossi says that these are valid tanaim. You're able to make these types of stipulations. This works. Rabbi Yossi letame damar asmach dekanya. Oh, this is the gambling figure, right? Rabbi Yossi is going l'shita, so according to his reasoning, because he says asmach dekanya. What does that mean? When you make some sort of deal that really you don't fully have smichas das that it's going to take place. I tell you I'm going to give you $1 million if you can rattle off this thing by heart. I don't actually think that it's going to happen, but... if it does happen, then, oh, you owe me $1 million. No, that's asmachta. So there's a machlokis in the Gemara, whether asmachta is kanya. When I'm gambling on something, do I actually think that I'm going to win or not? So Rabbi Yossi is of the shita that asmachta is kanya, that asmachta is going to be kone, and therefore he says that these types of tanaim are going to work. Rabbi Yudah Omer, no, dayoshiyik nekeneged erevuno. No, we can only say that your amount that you'd ever be chayiv is based on that which was put down. Meaning, the only thing you really believe that you're going to do is give back the down payment or pay back the down payment, right? Or pay up on that amount. But nothing more than that because asmachta is lo kanya. That's really what the machlokas comes down to. Amar Shimon ben Gamliel b'medzvar mamurim bizmancha amar lo ervuni yikon. So that's only when you say that this is actually going to be konen, that this is going to exist. Aval machar lo bayis osada be'elav zuz. But if we have a situation where I sell you a house or a field for $1,000, upar lo mehem chamesh me'o zuz, and you pay me $500 as a down payment, so kana. Therefore, everyone agrees that you're going to be konen in that situation. Umachzer lo es ashar afil lachar kamashanim. And you'll pay me back the rest, even over many years. Still, you're the full owner of this. My lav hu adin lemitaltalim bidistama kani luhu lekulu. Is this not going to be the same thing? Meaning, if we're saying by karka that if I put a down payment on a property and I'll only pay it off fully over many years, but I'm still the full owner of that property, if that applies by karka, then that probably exists by mitaltalin also. So what we see is clearly a proof that when you give a down payment, what happens? You acquire the entire thing. Says the Gemara, lo, mitaltalin bidistama lo kani. No, without stipulating fully, mitaltalin is going to be different than karka. Mashna, why would it be different? Karka de bikaspa kani le, mamish kani le, lekula lekula, mitaltalin de lo kani, elikbule mishapara lo kani le lekula. When it comes to karka, where you're actually being kona the entire karka over there, so then when we say when there's a down payment, then it's going to be okay. But when it comes to mitaltalin, the only reason we're saying you're kona or not is all based on whether you're going to get a mishapara or not. Is all about the curse that's associated with it. So there we're going to say, no, you're not going to be kona the entire thing. So there might be a distinction between karka and metatlin, which makes a lot of sense, right? It makes sense that when it comes to karka, you're going to be the full owner, but when it comes to metatlin, you would not necessarily be the full owner. So let's just review what we did just to get the basic machloksim. Again, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says Moos konos, Reish Lakish says that Mashiach is going to be kona. We had a lot of proofs either way, and we had the proofs from the psukim. Tzumes Yad was left out from what was left out. We had it from the Mishnah over there. From the Me'ila types of situations, then we got into this Mishapara. Do we just inform them, or do we actually curse them? We had the proof back and forth. We had the discussion about, who was it, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef? We're not going to curse him. We don't need to inform him. So what's going on? We said, what's the case? Why is it that we actually needed to inform him? What did he not know? It was really a machlokas about how we treat down payments. When you put a down payment on something, are you acquiring the entire thing or not? That's a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a lot of different machloksim going on over here. Fascinating stuff. Mirzah Shem. We will continue on this path. This is Daf Mem Ches. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.